Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today again on the subject of forgiveness. Darlene Diebler Rose, an American missionary to Dutch New Guinea, was imprisoned in World War II by the Japanese. She was in a notorious women's camp called Kampili. Her husband was sent to a different camp, and she never saw him again. It was 3 months after he died that she was informed of his death. In her book, Evidence Not Seen, she tells about being called into the office of the director of this camp, Mr. Yamaji. He was standing behind his desk. The title with which he addressed her is spelled N-J-O-N-J-A, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce that. I think I'll just call it Mrs. Diebler. He says, Mrs. Diebler, I want to talk with you. This is war. Yes, Mr. Yamaji, I understand that. What you heard today, women in Japan have heard. Yes, sir, I understand that too. You are very young. Someday the war will be over, and you can go back to America. You can go dancing, go to the theater, marry again, and forget these awful days. You have been a great help to the other women in the camp. I ask of you, don't lose your smile. Mr. Yamaji, may I have permission to talk to you? He nodded, sat down, and motioned for me to take the other chair. Mr. Yamaji, I don't sorrow like people who have no hope. I want to tell you about someone of whom you may never have heard. I learned about him when I was a little girl in Sunday school back in Boone, Iowa, in America. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. God opened a most wonderful opportunity to lay the plan of salvation before the Japanese camp commander. Tears started to course down his cheeks. He died for you, Mr. Yamaji, and he puts love in our hearts, even for those who are our enemies. That's why I don't hate you, Mr. Yamaji. Maybe God brought me to this place and this time to tell you he loves you. With tears running down his cheeks, he rose hastily and went into his bedroom, closing the door. I could hear him blowing his nose and knew he was still crying. Darlene Diebler Rose, being a follower of Jesus Christ, was certainly following him in her willingness to forgive the man who was responsible for her having been in solitary confinement and tortured in various ways. If you read her testimony of this time in her book, Evidence Not Seen, you will see a shining example of 20th century faith. I'm always looking for examples like this because I think it's very easy for us to think, oh, well, it's one thing for Daniel and Paul and David and Moses and Abraham and the disciples and the apostles to have faith, but it really doesn't work in our day. Well, Darlene Diebler Rose's testimony is proof that it does work. And I read to you from another testimony, also from a man who had been in concentration camp, Walter Chizik, who had spent years in labor camp in Russia. But Darlene Diebler Rose was doing what Jesus taught his disciples when he taught them to pray. He said, "Forgive us the wrong we have done as we have forgiven those who have wronged us." That translation is the New English Bible. The more familiar translation is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. But Jesus, after he finished that prayer, he said to his disciples, if you forgive others the wrongs they have done, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then the wrongs you have done will not be forgiven by your Father. That's a sobering statement, isn't it? Let me read that again, that last part. If you do not forgive others, then the wrongs you have done will not be forgiven by your Father. Darlene Deibler-Rose also tells how one night she was afraid to go to sleep for fear that her mind was going to snap. She said, so awful was the terror by night. I didn't dare to unburden my heart to anyone because of the brain's threat. The brain was her nickname for one of the people there. The brain's threat of what would result if I told what had happened in prison. By day, I worked wherever I was needed. By night, I prayed for deliverance. The afternoon of the sixth day after my return, I walked out onto a grassy plot in front of our dining shed. Lord, I've sought you for deliverance from this terrible fear. I need sleep, but I'm afraid to go to sleep. I have no more strength left. In despair, I threw out my hands, crying, Lord, I'm gone. I'm gone. In that instant, I felt arms go underneath me and found I was singing the third verse of a song by Dr. A.B. Simpson. Underneath us, oh, how easy. We have not to mount on high, but to sink into his fullness and in trustful weakness lie. And we find our humbling failures save us from the strength that harms. We may fail, but underneath us are the everlasting arms. As I sank into his fullness, the Lord completely delivered me, and all fear was gone. And then she quotes from 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That everlasting love that kept Darlene Deibler-Rose in the Japanese prison camp, and those arms that she felt underneath her in the very moment of her desperation when she cried out, Lord, I'm gone, I'm gone. Those are available for you and me. That same love, those same arms. I may be speaking to someone today who is having a terrible time forgiving someone for a wrong that seems, humanly speaking, unforgivable. And there are wrongs which, humanly speaking, are unforgivable, aren't there? But Jesus Christ provides us with all the grace that we could ever possibly need. Grace to deliver us from our own sins, and grace to deliver us from the sinful desire to retain hostility, anger, resentment, bitterness against those who have wronged us. If we are to forgive them, then our Heavenly Father forgives us. If we refuse to forgive them, this verse that I read to you from Matthew 6 tells us that our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. People have asked me sometimes how I forgave the Indians who killed my first husband, Jim Elliot. I have to say that that was not nearly so difficult as it is to forgive people who are close to me. Sometimes people who have done much smaller things than murder. Well, all of them are people who have done much smaller things. Nobody else has come close to that as far as offenses against me. But it was relatively easy to forgive ignorant jungle Indians who had absolutely no idea why my husband and his four companions had gone into their territory. They assumed, with good reason, that they were just white men coming to exploit them. But when someone whom I love, someone who knows the Bible as well as I do, who calls himself or herself a Christian, hurts me, what do I do then? Is that your experience? Do you find it more difficult to forgive a Christian than a non-Christian, for example? More difficult to forgive someone whom you love or used to love than it is to forgive your next-door neighbor who messed up your flower bed by running his car over it or something like that? Can you trust the Lord to give you the grace to let go of your right to be right and to erase the bitterness from your heart? I believe that resentment can be a full-time job. You need to be freed from that bondage. Don't wait until you feel good about that person. You're going to have a very long wait. But I do believe that it is a shortcut to peace if you will simply get down before God, humble yourself, remind yourself of all the sins that He has forgiven you, and then receive in faith the grace to forgive that person. Leave your resentment at the foot of the cross. Then you will know peace. If we really comprehended the measure of the grace of God toward us, surely it would be easier for us to forgive others for the relatively small sins, the relatively short list of sins that they have committed against us. May the Lord give you grace to receive His grace. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.